In this episode, episode 70 of the Daily Hustle, we get into more specifics about Google searches and the Google domination equation, how you can change where your business ranks, how you can get started doing that today.
Broadcasting from the Box That Rocks and Thrive15.com world headquarters, it's the Daily Hustle with Daniel McKenna.
What is going on, folks? Welcome back into the Box That Rocks. This is the Daily Hustle Show, episode 70. On my left, Marshall F. Morris. Over here, Daniel McKenna. This is coming up top in Google searches, the SEO Manifesto in episode 69. We talked about the basics, the high level. This is what Google is looking for to dominate Google and why that might be important to you. In this episode, we get further into the specifics of that Google domination equation. That equation, it was architecture plus mobile plus reviews plus content plus backlinks equals Google domination. And now we're going to get into some specifics. Marshall, how are you doing over there, homie G?
I'm doing great.
Oh, like Tony the Tiger.
That's right.
I like that. That's good. Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes.
Keeping it real. OG.
OG.
Marshall, I could have gone with some athletes for number 70. There were some athletes that wore number 70.
But I bet you didn't.
I did not.
Okay.
Keeping you on your toes.
That's fair.
69 was a long history lesson. I won't go into a long history lesson again. We'll just give you a little bit of a little religious background here, and the number 70.
That's why people come.
That's why people are here, to hear about the history and religion and the stuff that they didn't tune in to hear about.
Okay.
Did you know, in Jewish religion, there's a core of 70 nations and 70 world languages paralleling the 70 names in the Table of Nations.
I did not know that.
Did you know? In the Christian religion, Luke 10, 1-24, Jesus appoints 70 disciples and sends them out in pairs to preach the gospel.
That'd be 35 pairs.
Did you know? In Islamic history and in Islamic interpretation, the number 70, also 72, is most often and generally hyperbole for an infinite amount.
I did not know that.
So the next time you're talking to one of your, you know, maybe you got a Muslim friend or something like that, and they're like, how many jelly beans did you eat? And you're like, 70. And they're like, oh my gosh.
Now you can avoid that situation.
Now you can avoid that common situation. got Sam laughing.
Well... Sam likes that humor.
Okay, episode 70 here, Marshall. In the previous episode, episode 69, we talked about the high-level stuff. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty here. Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Is that... That's not Tony the Tiger, is it?
No, it's kind of.
That's kind of Tony the Tiger?
Whatever.
Tony the Tiger is not his A-level stuff, his B-level stuff. He tried to follow up with the... great. I'm ready. Okay, step one for the people at home. Episode 70, step one here. We're going to do a little bit of a hypothetical here. This is all from the book SEO Manifesto. From the book Start Here, which includes the SEO Manifesto. So step one, if you're at home, you can do this. Or if you're listening in your car, driving around, doing important things, your name's Clay Stairs. If any of those things are true, you can imagine you're doing this. Okay. If you typed in San Diego Bakery into the Google search bar and hit enter, you know the little search bar on Google there? San Diego Bakery, Tulsa Men's Haircuts, Owasso's Tallest Dude, San Diego Bakery. Step two, if you go to, I missed part of step one. In step one, if you typed in the San Diego Bakery, up near the top is a company called Twigs.org. Twigs.org is up somewhere near the top. Is this true, Marshall?
Fact.
Is this, let's see here. I'm going to be like San Diego Bakery. Okay, you got some Yelp reviews, got another bakery review, TripAdvisor, then Twigs. So Twigs is the first actual company that comes up if you're looking for a San Diego Bakery. Okay. Step number two. Because we talked about why that might be important for your business. Step number two, go to semrush.com, semrush.com, and run a report on their overall Google compliance score. Their overall score right now is a 78% out of a possible 100%, which is like getting a letter grade of C. Marshall, what is SEMrush.com, and why would I use SEMrush?
So we have these five different pieces to the Google optimization equation. And before we optimize, we have to know where we're at. We have to figure out the baseline. So what we're doing here is we're walking you through the different tools, and using this example of the San Diego Bakery, we're walking you through these different tools to evaluate what is it that I need to fix, or what is it that I need to improve upon in order to get my site higher in Google. So SEMrush.com is going to be best used as a site audit, okay? A site audit for how you are optimized in Google. And so things like the SEO issues and what to fix first. It's not really what do I need to do, but what do I need to do first? Having that priority is important. Tracking SEO optimization progress. Find and fix href lang mistakes. If you don't know what that is, we're going to get into deeper, greater detail, but basically it's saying that you have to indicate what language that your site is in, and it walks you through all of the different canonical rules that Google requires you to follow. Okay, so when we talk about the canonical rules, when we talk about the architecture, these are all the different rules, and SEMrush.com articulates what all of these different rules are. So specifically, this is what we're going through, and this is what we're doing on SEMrush.com. So you use this for a site audit. You use SEMrush.com for a site audit.
And I can tell you from personal behavior here, at the photo company, epicphotos.com, go to epicphotos.com. Epicphotos.com, we use this every single week. Every single week, we look at our SEMrush score. We look at where we are ranking in Google, what keywords we are ranking for, what things are wrong with the site that we need to change. We look at this every week.
Right.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So can't recommend that enough. We don't get anything from that. I mean, we SEMrush should be paying us probably, but probably. They don't. So I would recommend doing that. Okay. So SEMrush.com. Marshall, we talked about site structure. We talked about site structure, the architecture here. They said that Twigs got a 78% out of a possible 100. Got a letter grade of C. What are we talking about when we refer to site structure? What is this, Marshall?
These are all the Google canonical rules. And so the specific way that the website is set up, things like the href lang tags, having a clear language defined on your website, that's a bunch of meta information. That's information that's embedded into your website. There's things like a horizontal navigation bar. That's one of the Google canonical rules that you have to follow. But there's a whole list of these rules that we actually dig into each one of them very, very deeply on Thrive15.com. We actually did an entire episode about that. So if you want to learn more about that, Thrive15.com, it's our video training platform. It's the world's best business school because we get into the practical, actionable steps for you growing your business and fixing your website. So if you want to learn more about that, you can get on Thrive15.com. You try it for $1 and you just go watch that episode. But specifically, what we're talking about when we talk about a site structure are these Google canonical rules.
And to just in case that Marshall is not only tall, but speaking in big words and using things that maybe you've never heard of before, layman's terms, a good site structure just means it's a great user experience.
Boom.
Just says that Google says these are the rules that you have to follow if you want your users to easily be able to navigate your site. This is how our robots are going to crawl your website to determine whether it is easy for your users to use or not.
Bang, bang.
And we're going to have an entire episode on that, too. So go to Thrive15.com. For $1, you can get access to hundreds. Is it thousands yet? Is it thousands?
Thousands.
Thousands. Thousands of videos for $1 for your first month. One of them is about all of these canonical rules.
Mm-hmm.
But also in the Daily Hustle, we'll have an entire episode about site structure.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming up. Okay, so that was step two. Step three. We've already determined their site structure number. Step three. Write this out. We're going to go to google.com/webmasters/tools/mobile-friendly. I know it's a lot.
Whoa.
I know. It's long. Just in case you missed it, google.com/webmasters/tools/mobile-friendly and run a report on their overall Google mobile compliance score. Now, if you did this with twigs.org, punch that in. Oh, Google is showing their website is not mobile friendly. Marshall, we talked about this in the previous episode, how occasionally Google will change their algorithm, how highly they rank things versus other things. Not too long ago, Google changed its mobile compliance score and how much that affected your ranking. And they said, turns out a lot of people are using their phones to search on the internet. Therefore, we're changing the score to say if your website is easily searchable on the internet, that should rank higher because a lot of people are looking for stuff on their phones. Did this freak out some people? Did this change the game for a lot of people?
Absolutely. Definitely freaked out people because most people, they created their websites back in the 90s when the internet was still potentially a fad.
Potentially a fad.
And they didn't know what they were necessarily doing. They didn't originally create their website to be compliant with all these different things. And so nobody could have possibly known that they were going to need to be able to access the internet on their Nokia phone that you used to
play Snake. That's why you play. You use the phone to call people and play Snake.
Yep. Those were the two different things. But nobody knew that they were going to have to optimize websites for phones. And so now, with the advent of the smartphone, there's a ton of people using phones to access the internet. Okay, it's sticking around. So Google has made it pass fail. You either are compliant or not compliant. It's not a score like the canonical rules where you have a score of 78%. It's basically a C. Mm-hmm. Okay, but it's rather you either pass on mobile or fail on mobile. And if you fail on mobile, that's not good. And Google penalizes you and prevents you from coming up top.
Kind of a big deal. According to different studies, one done in August of 2016, 60% of people search the internet using their mobile device. 60. I've seen studies as high as 90%. Some publications say as high as 90% of people search the web on their smartphone. Of people that have smartphones.
That's right.
To view websites. So you have to design your websites to look and work great on mobile devices, since Google now requires websites to meet its mobile compliance standards. So if you go to that link, I talked about, again, that was google.com/webmasters/tools/mobile-friendly. You can find out if your website is mobile compliant or not.
Mm.
Some of the things that Google looks for to be mobile compliant is your text too small to read? Did you design a website thinking they're going to look at it on your giant monitor, giant 24-inch monitor? Yeah, this font looks about right. And then when you look at it on your phone, it's just way too small to read. Or are your links too close together? Is it hard to like press buttons on your phone? I'm just dropping my phone. Is it hard to like press the links because they're too close together?
Mm.
Mobile viewport not set. I don't even know what that means.
Mm.
But if it's not set, it's bad.
Mm.
Is your content wider than the screen? Do you remember when you first started looking at websites on your phone? How you used to have to like, you get it, and then you like push over a little bit. You push it over a little bit because it wouldn't fit on the screen. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
That was so annoying.
It's less annoying now.
That made you not want to search for stuff on your phone.
I can tell that you're a little bit emotionally attached to this.
Well, no, I just forgot about it. And now that they brought it up, now I'm getting upset again.
Okay, well.
So there's just a few of the reasons why your website might not be mobile compliant. Go find out about that. The good news is even though that does matter a lot, apparently bakeries in San Diego, their websites aren't super competitive because Twig still comes up near the very top.
Mm-hmm.
And their website is not mobile compliant.
Wow.
So that might matter for your website, for your business.
Mm.
It didn't kill Twigs in this case. Okay, that was step three. Step four. We're going to go to, here's another one here for you. Go ahead and punch this into the old internet box. freetools.webmasterworld.com and click on the indexed pages to determine how many pages of content twigs.org people have. Currently, they have around 184 pages of content on their website. Each page must have 1,000 words or more. Marshall, what are we talking about? We talked about indexed pages. What are indexed pages? How can I get more indexed pages?
So in order to create indexed pages of content, you're going to have to create content centered around the specific keywords that you want to come up top in Google for. So that means if you want to come up top for San Diego bakeries, you're going to have a lot of content about San Diego bakeries that relate to San Diego bakeries and mention San Diego bakeries.
Mm.
Okay.
Sure.
So you have a couple different ways for creating this content. Number one, you can sit there and blog. Okay. You can sit there, you can write a great blog. It can, you know, sound accurate. It can sound coherent. It's well structured and formatted. If you actually write this, okay, you write this, what you will find is that you're going to spend hours upon hours upon hours upon hours writing one blog article. Now, if it takes you, okay, let's say 10 hours, okay, start to finish. You write it, you edit it, you have a friend read it, then you make them correct it, and then you post it up on your blog. It takes you 10 hours per post. And you need 184 pages of content. That's a lot of content.
That's a lot of hours.
That's 1,800 hours?
That's like 70 hours.
1,800 hours.
See what I did there?
I do.
Okay, thanks.
So that's 1,800 hours. That's a ton of time spent. So you got to ask yourself, what are my other options in order to create this content? You got a second option. You can do talk to text, okay? You get a program called Dragon, okay? Dragon, it's made by a company called Nuance. You just strap on one of these headsets and it transcribes what you're saying into a text editor.
It's like your Garth Brooks.
It's like your Garth Brooks.
Talking about website stuff.
Okay. or you got a couple other options. You can just record a podcast, okay? You record a podcast and then take that final podcast episode and throw it into a website called rev.com. Rev.com. You go there, and for $1 a minute, they will transcribe your talk to text, okay? So you just focus on recording an awesome podcast and then send it to them, and they will transcribe it for you. Or your last option, you find somebody and you pay them to do it, okay? So whatever the option is you have got to create content. This is how you create index pages. You create the content, you upload it to a page of your website, and you must upload 1,000 words per page, 1,000 words, because 1,000 words, that's the threshold at which Google starts indexing it for search engine optimization. So once you've uploaded all this content for search engine optimization, okay, you get into some of those additional canonical rules. If you need a checklist, if you need help doing that, then we can send you over the checklist. We have all of this in the SEO manifesto, in the Start Here book. We have it on thrive15.com. We can help you through this process. But as far as the index pages, creating these index pages, it's 1,000 words of content, of original HTML content.
So basically indexing is when Google uses their Google bots, or sometimes called spiders, to crawl your website to determine if you have quality content that they should be telling people about. Once those documents are processed, they are added to Google's searchable index if they're determined to be quality content. During indexing, the Google bot processes the words on a page and where those words are located. So Marshall says 1,000 words or more, because that will give the Googlebot a chance to see how much content you have about that subject. And if you have a lot of content about that subject, it says, oh, they're talking about San Diego bakeries a lot in this. Somebody searching for San Diego bakeries might find this helpful.
That's right.
I'm going to rank this higher.
That's right.
I'm going to index this page.
Fact.
To find out what pages of yours are actually indexed, you can go to Google, type in site, colon, and then your website. So if it's twigs.org, or if it's epicphotos.com, or if it's thrive15.com, that comes up after the site colon, then domain.com. Whatever things come up right there, those are the pages that Google has actually indexed. You can actually see, oh, Google says that these pages matter. So you can start looking for those right there.
Was that your typing? I don't think anybody could have. It's more like you got to do it up here on the microphone.
Yeah.
It's also the same sound that the Google bots make.
Yeah, it's very loud. That's the only weird part. It's very, very loud.
Yeah.
Okay, that was step four. Step four here. Step five. We're going to go to SEMrush.com again, Marshall, to check out how many backlinks the people at Twigs.org have. Currently, they have 4,100 backlinks. That's a lot of backlinks.
It's a ton of backlinks.
What is a backlink? And what's the difference between a quality backlink and a bad backlink?
Okay, so a backlink is essentially a link from somebody else's site to your site. So what is the importance of this? It creates a network. It creates a link between sites. It creates almost a web of websites.
What if, I've got an idea.
Okay.
I feel like the internet should be called like the World Wide Web, ooh, you know, because it's like, ooh, the web, but it's like all over the world.
Ooh, I see what you did there. So the backlinks, these are what are responsible for linking all the websites together. It makes it, you're able to link to other relevant content. And so the importance of this is when you have a number of high quality websites linking to your site, they're saying that you are an authority for a given subject. Google sees that and says, hey, they must be doing something right. They must be providing valuable content. Therefore, we should probably rank them high for that particular keyword. That's awesome. We're throwing things around in the studio. It's great.
We're getting excited about backlinks.
Yeah, it's so exciting. So now what is a good backlink and what is a bad backlink? So the reason why Google has moved away from prioritizing just the sheer number of backlinks is because, like in the previous episodes that we've talked about, you used to be able to just go out, and if you were a little bit nefarious, a little bit deceiving, a little bit trying to game the system, you could just go buy hundreds and thousands of backlinks, okay? And companies would do that for their website to come up top in Google, okay? They just buy all these sites or buy all these links, and they link to the website. Now, on the more nefarious side, you could also buy bad backlinks and buy 100 of them and send them all pointing to your competitor's website. So if you wanted to tank their website, you could just buy 100 of those and just link them directly to a competitor. That's a more nefarious, deceiving, not so ethical thing.
Wouldn't
that
recommend it per se, but it's an option. Would not recommend it.
Should not do that. Little
but it is possible.
So that's why Google has gone away from providing relevance and value to the backlinks. But what they do continue to value are relevant authoritative domains. So if you have a link from, say, Forbes.com, that would be a authority domain. People verify that Forbes.com is a credible source. Businessinsider.com, that is a credible source. Okay, the New York Times, that is a credible source. Any government website, if you have a government website linking to your website, that is an authoritative domain. If you have a .edu website linking to your website, that is an authoritative domain. Why? Because the credentials and the criteria for actually having those sites linked to you is that process is very, very difficult. And once you get on there, that's why it can be huge for your business. So backlinks, they do contribute, but now you got to just focus on the authoritative websites actually linking to your site.
Okay. So those were backlinks, quality backlinks. What are bad backlinks? Twigs has a lot of backlinks, 4,100, in fact. That's a whole lot. From what we've seen so far, this is the reason why they're coming up top in Google. Got a decent amount of pages indexed, 184, pretty good. So, I mean, it's a lot of pages, actually, but a lot of backlinks.
That's right.
Okay. So, equipped with this information, you now know what you would need to do to come up top for the term San Diego bakery. For the people that are out in San Diego looking for a bakery that are searching in Google San Diego bakery, if you want to get in front of those people, you now know how you can beat twigs.org. It's a formula. Here's what you got to do. Twigs.org had a compliance score of 78%. So your architecture, your Google architecture compliance score must be 79% or more. You just got to beat them. You know what number they're at? Your website's got to be better. A Google mobile compliance score that is found to be mobile friendly. Theirs is not mobile friendly. If your website is mobile friendly, you'll beat them in that ranking. roughly 350 pages of original content on your website. Because you know Twigs has like 170, 180 indexed pages. You want to double their number. They have 170 and you're like, I'll take put up 350. Chances are Google's going to start seeing you as a more relevant source of authority.
That's right.
And that's through your blogs or through your Garth Brooks headset or your however you want to do it. You just got to have 350 pages of 1,000 words or more indexed on your site.
Mm-hmm.
You need 8,000 quality backlinks from various websites around the internet. That's a lot of backlinks.
A ton of them.
Those are the things you have to do if you want to be sure, if you want to be positive. I definitely want to beat twigs.org for the term San Diego Bakery. This is what I must do.
Mm.
Now, let's break that down cost-wise here, Marshall. We're using some approximation here. Some approximation for some things. Depending on who you use to do this sort of stuff or if you do it yourself, right? Approximately, total cost. Be about $3,000 to fix your website to make it mobile compliant, architecturally sound. This is something we do for our coaching clients all the time.
That's right.
We just said it was $3,000 for that. Our coaching clients get design services and website services and podcast services and all for a number that's like, you know, close to half of that. Not bad.
Not bad.
Not shabby. Thrive15.com if you're more interested in some of those coaching client services. About $3,500 to pay for the writing of 350 pages of original content for you. We're saying if you paid someone $10 to write an article of 1,000 words or more, it costs you about $3,500 to write all those index pages you would need to beat twigs.org about San Diego Bakery. And you need to have the keyword San Diego Bakery littered all through that stuff.
Boom.
You need roughly $16,000 to create 8,000 backlinks from various high-quality websites around the internet. That's a lot of backlinks. That's where your budget goes whoop.
Mm-hmm.
But in total, you would need to invest approximately $22,520 to beat twigs.org. If you are a bakery in the San Diego area, and you say Twigs has a higher ranking than us, Twigs probably gets people searching on Google for them.
That's right.
I want to sell more of my cakes than Twigs does. We need to invest about $22,000 into this whole thing to beat them in Google, and then people see our website before they see the Twigs website.
That's right.
What does this mean for the business owners out there, Marshall? Give me a 1-minute summary of your feelings. We've just demystified a lot of the search engine optimization process. What does this mean for the business owners out there?
So for the business owners out there, if you know that it's going to take $22,520 in order to get to the top of Google and beat twigs.org, get onto that front page, you got to ask yourself, one, am I willing to invest the time and spend the money in order to do that? And then if I did get to the top of Google, if I did, how long would it take me? How many cakes do I need to sell? How many cookies do I need to sell? How many cupcakes do I need to sell? How much challah bread do I need to sell in order to make all of my money back? My $22,000. Now, once you do get up top in Google, once you do get up there, the cool thing is that if you make your money back, then once you've made all that money back, you remain up at the top of Google.
Go on.
There's a couple maintenance things that you need to continue doing. Continue to make sure that your site's compliant. Continue adding more content than your competitor. Always remaining higher than your competitor. So we recommend to not stop adding content, but rather stay ahead of your competitor in terms of amount of content. But now that is all profit, baby. You've spent the money to get to the top, and now you're at the top, and so you get to reap the fruit. And that's the move. So you got to ask yourself, is it worth the time and worth the money?
Do you think you would sell more than $22,000 worth of cakes if you were at the top of Google for search terms such as San Diego Bakery?
That's right. You got to ask yourself.
Okay, so now you know how to do it. This is the beginning knowledge, the demystification of the domination of SEO. If you want more knowledge, or you just maybe don't want to do it yourself. info@thrive15.com, and we can help. Marshall can point you in the right direction for the right training series to watch, or Marshall or one of the other business coaches here can do a website analysis for you to find out for you what you should be doing to get up higher in Google. Any last thoughts here on the demystification of domination of SEO here, Marshall?
I challenge everybody to say demystification domination as fast as you can.
I challenge you to do it 70 times.
Wow.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Over to my left, Marshall F. Morris. Over here, Daniel McKenna. This has been episode 70 of The Daily Hustle. We will see you next time for episode 71. Kaboom.